In 1991, a disheveled young man in a striped Charlie Brown shirt lurched across MTV screens, unleashing guitar chords that would rewire a generation's neural pathways. Kurt Cobain wasn't trying to start a revolution, he just wanted to make noise. Yet Smells Like Teen Spirit became the battle cry for 46 million Americans caught between boomer idealism and millennial optimism. Generation X had arrived, though they'd never admit to wanting the spotlight. These were the children who grew up with divorce rates doubling, economic recession looming, and nuclear annihilation threatening. They developed a protective shell of irony, a distrust of institutions, and a fierce independence born from necessity rather than ideology. What made this moment so powerful wasn't just the music, it was the collective recognition. Suddenly, people who had felt invisible saw themselves reflected in culture. The cheerleaders with anarchy symbols, the janitor headbanging with his mop, the genuine chaos of kids piling down from bleachers. This wasn't manufactured rebellion, but authentic expression. By January 1992, Nirvana had knocked Michael Jackson off the Billboard charts with an album featuring bizarre lyrics about mosquitoes and libidos. The mainstream was being infiltrated by the margins. Beyond Nirvana, powerful voices like Sinead O'Connor, Bjork, and Courtney Love redefined expression, while tech innovators created digital infrastructure from basements. The world was changing, and the change was coming from the most unexpected places, from the slackers, the drifters, the ones who supposedly didn't care. Richard Linklater's $20,000 film Slacker captured Generation X during the Kinko's Lacuna, that period between Reagan's materialistic boom and Clinton's tech revolution. The film followed Austin's eccentrics, conspiracy theorists, coffee shop philosophers, and dreamers connected through meandering conversations. These slackers were actually knowledge collectors who, shut out from traditional careers, created alternative economies. They embraced thrift store fashion and built independent music scenes through zines, cassette trading, and DIY venues. Kinko's became cultural hubs where people produced creative works around the clock. Their apparent aimlessness masked a generation forging meaning outside conventional structures. When traditional paths disappeared, Xers built their own, developing skills that would prove vital in the digital age. By 1994, marked by Kurt Cobain's death, the alternative movement faced commercialization. Woodstock 94 embodied this shift, with corporate sponsors looming over peace symbols. Green Day's Billy Joe Armstrong captured the moment when he mocked the crowd. "Hey, look at me, I'm a fucking idiot," showing how authentic DIY spirit had become packaged rebellion. In 1999, a new generation of filmmakers transformed American cinema through radical storytelling. Darren Aronofsky aimed to create a mosh pit of emotion and mayhem with Requiem for a Dream, drawing from underground films. These directors, raised on video games, hip-hop, and early digital tools, included Spike Jonze, Charlie Kaufman, Sofia Coppola, and David Fincher. Their works like The Matrix, Fight Club, and Being John Malkovich broke conventions through nonlinear narratives and unreliable narrators. Digital effects evolved into storytelling devices beyond mere spectacle. The Matrix's bullet time offered new perspectives on reality, while Fight Club used subliminal frames to challenge viewers. Following punk's DIY spirit, Aronofsky even funded Pi through small contributions from friends. These Gen X films shared a common thread, characters trapped in psychological prisons seeking awakening, while mainstream Hollywood comforted. In 1991, Prague attracted Generation X expatriates seeking authentic revolution. The Czech concept of malost, littleness, resonated with Gen X's diminished expectations, mirroring Douglas Coupland's lessness and the embrace of modest ambitions. The Czechs had perfected subtle resistance through style and strategic disengagement. Their method of outsmarting authority while appearing compliant influenced young Americans, evident in underground music scenes and samizdat literature networks that preserved Czech culture under communism. Playwright-turned-president Václav Havel exemplified this defiant spirit. as a former dissident who prevailed through cultural rather than political means. Milan Kundera's The Unbearable Lightness of Being became essential reading, particularly for its insights on how authoritarian systems use kitsch to deny reality. The Czech model proved that resistance through irony, art, and cultural subversion could outperform direct confrontation, showing how creative expression and interior freedom could gradually transform external reality and undermine systems of control. The dot-com boom transformed Generation X from finance skeptics to stock market enthusiasts, symbolized by Time's 1996 cover of Marc Andreessen barefoot on a throne. Tech innovators could now become wealthy while maintaining alternative credibility. The revolution aligned with Gen X's DIY, anti-establishment values. Yahoo's Dave Filo embodied this spirit, maintaining his modest lifestyle and sleeping under his desk despite his success. Startups offered a compelling middle ground, financial success without corporate conformity. Their casual cultures and stock options created wealth across all employee levels. Films like Fight Club and Being John Malkovich reflected Gen X's identity crisis, a counterculture generation now leading mainstream innovation. The eventual crash forced many to confront their complicated relationship with wealth and authenticity. Lauryn Hill's artistry was shaped by soul legends like Gladys Knight and Stevie Wonder in her mother's New Jersey basement. Her 1998 album, The Miseducation of Lauryn Hill, earned 5 Grammys and sold 19 million copies worldwide. By 2001, Hill had transformed. At MTV Unplugged, she delivered what Gordon Ear called one of the most cracked performances ever captured on disc, spending hours between raw acoustic songs declaring herself crazy and deranged, but free, as music shifted from My Love to My Burden. Her crisis exemplified the clash between authenticity and manufactured pop. The industry viewed genuine artists as risks. They either died young, Kurt Cobain, Jeff Buckley, went mad, Sinead O'Connor, or rejected the system, Hill herself. American Idol emerged as the industry's solution, totalitarian kitsch that replaced artistic unpredictability with reliable commercial performers, marking a fundamental shift away from uncompromising artistry. YouTube embodies American weirdness that corporate media suppresses, preserving cultural artifacts and celebrating outsiders. It exemplifies Generation X's curatorial approach in the long tail, where niche markets thrive alongside mainstream content. Though smaller than boomers and millennials, Gen X's outsider status fuels their impact. From Isa Moskowitz's punk vegan cooking to Leah Kramer's crafting community, Xers excel at creating nicheville alternatives to mass culture. Their influence flows through Dave Eggers' writing centers, Tim Westergren's Pandora, and Mina Troth's blogging platforms. Scott Heiferman's Meetup fights isolation by focusing on small, high-volume connections. Generation X brings crucial traits to modern challenges: skepticism of mass movements, tech fluency, and understanding that change starts at the margins. Cameron Sinclair's Architecture for Humanity exemplifies their networked, small-batch approach to solutions. We face a choice between paralysis and action. While Henry James warns against eternal waiting in The Beast in the Jungle, The Replacements' I Will Dare offers 3 syllables as an antidote to regret and possibly a path to change.